व्याकृतमनाथाख्यम् आसनम् यदधिष्ठिता कर्मज्ञानादिभियुक्तम् सत्त्वं पद्ममिहोच्यते अव्याकृतम् The unmanifest phase of material creation. Ananta Akyam, known as Lord Ananta. Asanam, his personal seat. Yad Adi Sitaha, upon which he is sitting. Dharma Jnana Adivi, together with religion, knowledge, and so on. Yuktam, joined. Satpam, in the mode of goodness. Padmam, his lotus. Iha, thereupon. Uchete, is said. Translation. Ananta, the Lord's sitting place, is the unmanifest phase of material nature, and the Lord's lotus throne is the mode of goodness endowed with religion and knowledge. Text 14 to 15. Sarinkam Tatar Kama Mayeshutim. Translation. The club the Lord carries is the chief element, prana, incorporating the potencies of sensory, mental, and physical strength. His excellent conch shell is the element water, his Sudarshan disc, the element fire, and his sword, pure as the sky, the element ether. His shield embodies the mode of ignorance, his bow named Syringa, time, and his arrow-filled quiver, the working sensory organs. Text 16. Indriyani sharamahu akuti asya shandanam tanmatrani asya pivyaktim mudrayata kriyatmatam. Translation. His arrows are said to be the senses, and his chariot is the active, forceful mind. His external appearance is the subtle objects of perception, and the gestures of his hands are the essence of all purposeful activity. Purport. All activity is ultimately aimed at the supreme perfection of life, and this perfection is awarded by the merciful hands of the Lord. The gestures of the Lord remove all fear from the heart of a devotee and elevate him to the Lord's own association in the spiritual sky. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Mimutamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vacham Pangam Nangayate Girim Yakripata Mahamindya Shri Gurum Dinatavinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This is the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're hearing descriptions of the universal form of Krishna. We're hearing about the Mahapurusha. In this conversation, I think it's Shona Karishi speaking. Shona Karishi speaking to the sage Sutta Goswami. So here's the different activities of the Lord, how his body is arranged in a specific way. The different elements are present, both in their gross and in their subtle. So in this purport, specifically to text 16, we're hearing about how all activity that we're performing should actually lead us to achieving the supreme perfection of life. So the supreme perfection of life, of course, is to reside with Krishna in his topmost planet, in his original abode. Goloka Vrindavan. And our understanding, of course, is that one needs certain amounts of qualification to actually enter in the supreme destination. If we want to perfect our life, then there is a process of how we perfect our life. So we have the 9 processes of bhakti, of devotional service, aided by the instructions and the bhakti shastras that have been given by the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, teaching us how to put these 9 processes into practical application, and in that way gradually achieve the supreme perfection of life. So on our hand, of course, we have our endeavor, our sincerity in the process of bhakti. There's a lot as well that is awaiting us by the mercy of the Lord. So it's not only our endeavor, it's not only based on our effort. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is there as the Super Soul also to try and aid our gradual advancement back home. So on this path, we're actually never alone. So there's so much explanation. Yesterday we heard a very nice class by Gangadhar Prabhu, how he was explaining even how Lord Brahma, the first created being, so to speak, he was at the mercy of the Lord's lotus feet, because even after being the first person sitting on his birthplace, the lotus stem, still he did not know what to do. So he was in a perplexed situation. So he tried by his means, by his endeavor, he showed the Lord that, yes, I'm trying to find out what is the cause of my origin, what is my goal, what am I doing here. So he goes down the stem, he has a look, he cannot find anything, he's under the water, then he hears the vibrations of tapa. He hears that twice and he comes up and he understands, because the Lord is seated in the heart as a super soul, so the Lord will guide him internally. So the Lord knows what his desire was. He was inquiring about his situation. So the Lord inspired him to perform tapasya or austerity. And in that way, Lord Brahma started his meditation, and gradually he got to the seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. He got to have darshan of the Supreme Lord in his Narayan form as Krishna, and he also got vision of the Supreme Abode. And of course he spoke the Brahma Samhita, which was based on that transcendental vision that he had, that came ultimately from the Supreme by the mercy of the Lord. So even from Lord Brahma, this point that this perfection of life is awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That perfection, to be able to see Krishna, to be with Krishna in his eternal abode, is not something that we, by our tiny or minute understanding or by our independence, we can try to achieve. A lot of it is based, a lot of it will come from the Supreme Lord's mercy. So that we have to accept. And when that's there, we do not need to be fearful, because Krishna is the well-wishing friend of all living entities. So he, by his different potencies, expands himself to reside in the heart of each living entity, so that we're not in a lost situation. So there's so many things when we study how Krishna manifests himself in his universal form. There's certain things that become obvious when we study this form of Krishna. Rather, Krishna, we understand, Lord Brahma himself has given us that knowledge that Krishna is the cause of all causes. That everything that is in this material existence, in the spiritual existence, it is all coming from Krishna. The Vedic texts are explaining this. And even just by seeing Krishna's universal form, you get to understand that Krishna is just not a mere human being. He's not like just any ordinary person. You do not have a person whose form extends from the lowest region to the topmost region in the material existence. No one has that kind of form. And no matter how people, according to material qualification, may look fearful or scary, no one can compare to that ferocious form of the universal form. It explained that it's actually very fearful to see. It is not a pretty or a very enticing form to be looking at every single day, and to try and serve and cultivate a loving relationship. That is not the aim of the universal form. So the universal form shows that Krishna is not a mere human being. He's above that. Even just by studying his universal form, which Srila Prabhupada in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is explaining that the universal form, this is a material temporary form. But even to see that, one requires transcendental vision. Even to see Krishna's universal form, which is a material temporary form, one requires transcendental vision. That is given by Krishna himself. So we get to understand from Krishna's universal form that Krishna is not a mere human being, that he's more powerful than any so-called human being who has any kind of opulence. So that we can get to understand. And because Krishna is present in the heart, he is the super soul, he will reciprocate with those who are trying to see him. He will reciprocate with those who are trying to see his original form. In whichever process, in whichever yoga that one performs, because Krishna reciprocates directly with our desires, he will award us what we deserve. So if we want to relate to Krishna in a specific way, Krishna has his potencies, he has his different forms for different living entities who want to relate to him in a personal way or in an impersonal way. So Krishna reveals that form to them. And Krishna doesn't reveal himself at all. To the envious, to the fools, to those who deride or decry the form of Krishna, Krishna does not reveal himself. Krishna will keep them in darkness, because that is not their desire. He cannot force upon a living entity, I want you to see me in this way, I want you to relate me in this way. If the minute independence of a living entity calls that living entity to be independent, to be impersonal, then Krishna gives them that scope to express himself. So we cannot hide from Krishna. We cannot claim that Krishna is not being fair, because Krishna knows our innermost heart's desire. He is reciprocating with that. So we cannot blame anyone if we cannot see Krishna in a specific way. And most importantly, from these different descriptions, even when we study this description in the Bhagavad Gita of Krishna showing his or revealing a universal form, we get to understand that the original form of Krishna is Krishna and his two-armed feature. Because Krishna, when he was dealing with Arjuna on the battlefield, to try and convince Arjuna specifically, Krishna revealed his universal form for future reference. So many people would come and say that they are God, that they are the Supreme, they're an incarnation of God. So if anyone at all wants to claim that they're God, let them manifest their universal form. So Krishna very easily manifested a universal form. And for that, of course, he had to give Arjuna transcendental vision to be able to see that form. And then gradually Arjuna could understand that Krishna is just not an ordinary person. Although he was relating to him as a friend or jokingly, after seeing this opulence, he could understand actually this is the Supreme Person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So that familiarity went away, then he started accepting in all humility the supremacy of the Lord. And because he was in a specific relationship with Krishna, he then asked Krishna to manifest himself in his human-like form. So for a devotee, Srila Prabhupada explains that there, a devotee of Krishna is not attracted to this fearsome form of the Lord, that we do not The devotee does not derive pleasure or satisfaction from seeing the universal form of Krishna. So Arjuna asks him, please transform yourself into one of your Vishnu forms, because I cannot relate to seeing this universal form. And after that, Krishna transformed himself into his original form. Same with Lord Brahma. He saw the entire creation, he saw how Krishna is the Supreme Personality, but still he desired to see Krishna in his original form. So it went from the universal form to the form of Lord Narayan, and finally to get to see Krishna in his two-armed form. So I am Bhagavan Krishna. So we can get to see that actually it is Krishna in whom all other incarnations are coming from. So Krishna's name is Avatari. Everything is coming from Krishna. Not that everything is coming from Lord Narayan, or everything is coming from Mahavishnu. All the incarnations, all these potencies are coming from Krishna himself. So Krishna, in this way, as I said in the beginning, he is the cause of all causes. Everything is emanating from him. Although the universal form is manifested for the cosmic manifestation, and it is therefore subjected to material, temporary time, material nature. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that. So it is a temporary form. So our aim, of course, if we want the supreme perfection of life that's being mentioned here, we are obviously not going to be attracted to this form. And Srila Prabhupada guides and aids that we shouldn't be attracted to this form. We should be attracted to Krishna's form, which has a loving feature to it. And that is why we have another aspect of Krishna in his Acha Vigraha form, in his deity worship, because this is a loving form. We can see Krishna's eyes, Krishna's transcendental body limbs, his mouth. So many aspects of Krishna we can see, and we can experience Krishna. And it's natural for us, because we're also persons. We can experience loving relationships with Krishna in his original form. We cannot experience this in a godless display like the universal form. Srila Prabhupada also explains this in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that we're not particularly excited or impressed by a godless form of the Lord in which we cannot render service. I don't know if anyone here would like to render service to a ginormous, fearful form of Krishna, where it will be difficult to have loving reciprocation, because the universal form, it has everything in creation. So everything that is nice, anything that is animate, that is inanimate, all the oceans, all the rivers, so many things. And it's hard to get a personal reciprocation from this ferocious form. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the devotee is not attracted to a godless, opulent form of the Lord. This is not our interest. If we want to achieve this perfection that's being spoken of, then there's a process that is given in the same scripture, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. The nine processes of devotional service are there because they are rendered to the original form of the Lord, to Krishna in his two-armed form. And in that way we can get to taste this, or we can reach this supreme destination, this goal that we're after. So Lord Brahma performed his austerity. He got initiated into the Krishna mantra. He performed austerity, and by Krishna's grace, by Krishna's mercy, he got darshan of the Lord and his abode. And that is the supreme destination, to be with Krishna in his original place, his original land, in his original form. Krishna's two-handed form, that is the original form of Krishna. And that is what we're interested in. And Lord Brahma shows by his example that we follow a process given by the Lord himself, or the Lord's representative, the spiritual master. So we get given initiation, and the process of devotional service is further activated after initiation to gradually make us fly back to Godhead smoothly without having any detours. So the guidance is definitely important. And it's not a theoretical thing that we should just be stuck on. It's not theory that we can actually achieve this perfection of life. It is not theory, it's actually practical, it is real. Krishna himself explained in Bhagavad Gita that by practicing this process of devotional service, you can actually be able to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not just, you know, theory. We don't just say it, you actually experience it. So every single activity that we're performing, we shouldn't separate it from Krishna. So we're performing devotional service. It might not be in a temple specifically, it might be at home, it might be different time of the day, you're doing different activities and you're offering those results to Krishna. So we should be learning how to see our Krishna consciousness in every single day. Just because one is a student or one is working, it doesn't mean that they are not, they cannot be Krishna conscious, that they cannot achieve the supreme goal of life. So we learn to dedicate everything that we're doing to Krishna, and our activities in that way become purified. But to see Krishna, of course, or to get this perfection of life, we must have qualification to see. But sometimes people have short vision or they have long vision. They need glasses. It's not like you can just go anywhere and see. You know, you cannot see properly. You just walk into the walls, or you'll walk in front of a truck, and something bad might happen. Or if you want to have to see someone very important, if you want to see Barack Obama, I don't think anyone can just walk up to the White House and just walk right in front of the security. Well, who are you? I'm like, my name is such and such, I'm here to see Barack Obama. I said, so who are you exactly? What qualification do you have to see the President of the United States of America? So you don't just go without qualification. That's a sign of pride. To think that you can do something without qualification is pride, and that's a materialistic tendency, quality. So we have to qualify ourselves to get this perfection, supreme perfection of life, to see Krishna. Yeah, Lord Brahma gives us a hint that to be able to actually perceive Krishna, we have to have our vision smeared with something. Premanjana, Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. That we cannot just go with some jnana, some karma, some austerity, some mysticism. That doesn't work for Krishna. These are all miniature qualities. If you want the highest perfection, so it has to be our eyes, our entire vision has to be anointed with pure bhakti. And towards the last few a text of the 11th chapter, when Srila Prabhupada is explaining this universal form, he quotes the verse that the six Goswamis use for pure devotional service, that indeed to see the original form of Krishna, you have to have pure unalloyed devotion. Otherwise you won't be able to see Krishna. Because Krishna is the reservoir of all relationships. Srila Prabhupada sometimes says he's an ocean of relationships. You can have different relationships with Krishna. But whatever relationship it is, it has to be anointed with nothing but pure love. Otherwise we won't be able to act as Krishna, because Krishna has no tinge of matter at all. Krishna is nirguna. He has no tinge of matter, so you cannot have a so-called material relationship with Krishna. That will not work. And if we get to see Krishna, if we get to know Krishna, then we know everything. As the Vedas say, one who knows Krishna knows everything. You see, with the universal form, everything is contained within the universal form. When Mother Yashoda saw the entire creation in Krishna's mouth, everything was there. When Arjuna was seeing the universal form and how all the armies, all the soldiers were rushing into that ferocious mouth, then he understood, actually by seeing Krishna, one knows everything. And one can see everything clearly as it is. And this is why, you know, Krishna in his original form, this is the supreme perfection, the supreme destination, because we get everything from Krishna. We can be interested in seeing someone else less than Krishna, but that will not give us this perfection that we're desiring. So our life should be molded in such a way that one can always remember Krishna and one can always try to follow the plan of Krishna. And ultimately Krishna's plan is to get as many living entities back into his original abode. And he does that through the medium of Guru, or through the medium of the spiritual master, who engages living entities and or he tries to engage living entities in pure devotional service. So all our activities in devotional service are aimed at this perfection of being able to see Krishna face to face and being able to see the spiritual realm, Goloka Vrindavan. And we can see that is what happened with Lord Brahma, that is what happened. Arjuna could see everything. Arjuna could realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the cause of all causes. He is within everyone's heart as the Supersoul, so he is reciprocating with everyone's desire. He is not a mere human being. He is not an ordinary personality. So Arjuna actually got this realization from seeing the Virat Rupa, the universal form. And then going further than that, when he then desired to see Krishna in his original form, then Krishna fulfilled that desire. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that, you know, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam actually that explains how even great yogis and the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, they actually cannot even see on a permanent basis this two-armed form of Krishna. But one who is performing unalloyed bhakti can have this vision all the time. And Prabhupada is explaining, if we think, you know, it takes qualification to see the universal form, and it takes even more qualification to see Krishna in his two-armed form. So it's a lot of work. You have to perform austerity through our hearing, through our tongue, through our activities. We have, this is our austerity in Kali Yuga, is to only hear about Krishna. And that's not a bad thing. Krishna is all attractive. Our austerity is to taste nothing but Krishna prasadam. I don't think anyone has a problem with that. Especially in Melbourne. That is a very nice austerity, to have nothing but prasadam. Austerity for the eyes, to focus our gaze on the beautiful form of Krishna. Even for people who've never seen Krishna before, when they look at Krishna and his Acha Vigraha, they have attraction for Krishna. But they still don't have a relationship yet. So the attraction is there, although the relationship is not yet built. This is the potency of Krishna. You might not know Krishna, but the first time you look at him, you understand this is a very different type of person. So this is our austerity, looking at Krishna. I don't think our eyes get pained by looking at the beautiful form of Krishna in his Acha Vigraha, or hearing topics about Krishna. That is the austerity in Kali Yuga, hearing about Krishna.
Definitely. This austerity is that particular word means?
Austerity means your, how do you say it simply? Like some sacrifice. I'll explain it further later on. So Lord Brahma did the same thing. He understood that he has to perform meditation. He has to restrain his senses. He has to focus on something higher other than just himself and his body. Because in Kali Yuga, people are performing austerities for their pleasure, for themselves. You go to the gym every single day for hours and hours because you want to look and feel good. It's for you. And even when you're not feeling well, even when you've had a late night, you're still going to go. That's an austerity. or you want to have fun, you want to have some sense gratification, you want to go to a party and it's winter, you still go. No matter how freezing it is, that's an austerity. You brave the wind, you brave the cold, you brave the thunder, just to have fun. So to one, some degree or the other, we're always performing austerity for the body. There's a lecture I was listening to by His Holiness Devaramita Swami, and he was explaining, he always wondered how people have fun in these extremely cold regions. Do they actually go out and party and go clubbing? And he was asking somewhere in Siberia, in Minsk or some far corner that's extremely cold. And he says, yeah, all you do, you know, you turn the AC on very, very high, you walk out, you cover yourself like anything, but there's still enjoyment. So we're all very much had experience of performing some kind of austerity, going out of our way to acquire or enjoy something. But austerity in our case, when we're dealing with Krishna, means we're putting our personal comforts aside to try and realize a higher, to try and get a higher taste in life. And normally we think, because it starts off a bit painful, we think it's not worth it. It's a bit bitter. Because it's for someone else, it's not for us. If it was for us initially, there's no problem. But because it's for someone else, there's a reservation to do it. The austerities are there when we work. Before we even come to the process of devotional service, we're performing some kind of austerity for some kind of enjoyment. The only difference now is that we kind of dovetail that propensity towards Krishna. We just hear about Him, taste food stuff that are offered to Him, gaze our vision at Him. And that way, that is our austerity, we're getting purified. And that is how we gradually get to qualify ourselves to see Krishna face to face in His original abode. And that way, as we apply this process, these nine processes of devotional service from hearing and chanting, we get that bhakti, which is what we need to see Krishna. Krishna explains that He can only be seen through the eyes of bhakti, pure loving devotion. So we have to keep practicing, and then gradually that vision, that disease of the eye gets removed. We get to see Krishna properly. So this divine vision means a godly vision. So we have to become godly in character. We can't just waltz into Goloka Vrindavan with material senses and with the mentality of I'm the enjoyer, thinking that Lord Brahma said Ishvaraha Parama Krishna, and then we take it and say Ishvaraha Parama whoever, whatever our name is. No, it will always and ever will be Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sava Karna Karma. It will eternally be like that. It will never change. Krishna is the only male. Everyone else is Prakriti or female, and it's meant for Krishna's pleasure. These facts have been corroborated in the Vedic Shastras. Ekale Ishvara Krishna, only Krishna is God. Ekale, only one person is God. And one person is the controller, Krishna. Arasava Britya, everyone else is servant. Everyone else is servant. But His name has been given, His destination has been given, the Supreme Abode has been given, and the process by which we can get there, the scientific process, has also been given. And that is the nine processes of pure devotional service, beginning with Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Vananam Dasyam Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. From hearing and chanting, remembering the Lord, worshipping Him, performing service, and ultimately surrendering unto His lotus feet, we will attain the highest perfection of life. And that will come also by Krishna's mercy when He sees how sincere we are and how much we've been endeavoring. So I'll stop and see if there's any comments or questions on what we spoke about. Yes, Mahatma.
And you said very nicely, we can see you only by service, by devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel him, you can see Mahabharata, whole Mahabharata, Krishna is a driving chariot, you can see all the activities Krishna is doing in Mahabharata. Vedavyasa Maharaj is describing things. So it's only by devotional service and serving the pure devotee of Krishna is very important. Because he's carrying Krishna in his heart. If you serve him, you stay in the dust of the Lotus feet of the
pure
devotee. You can see Krishna.
Yes, and Krishna says he is there whenever devotees are having discussions about him. Machid matka mat prana bodhyantas paraskaram kathyantas chamamnicham tasanticha ramanticha. That's where Krishna is. Wherever there's topics about him, wherever there's Krishna katha, Krishna will be there. And yasya deva para bhakti yatha deve tata guru tasyate kanta hirata prakashanti mahatmanaha. That by serving the pure devotee, the spiritual master, everything is revealed. The entire. Sorry? Yes. To know all of that requires the mercy of Guru. Because all these things can go away if we're not surrendered to a spiritual master, if we're not linked in disciplic succession. This power, this potency we have, you know, we're so tiny and insignificant. So all the inputs of the Vedas, they are revealed and they are given by the spiritual master once he sees that we're actually qualified. So we have to qualify ourselves. We have to become humble servants of the spiritual master and the devotees. And then Krishna will take pleasure in that and give us his mercy.
And not any one of my two masters in
disciplic succession. Yes, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Instruction that we should try and have an Uttama Adhikari as a spiritual master. Then that means a proper Vaishnav coming in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anything else?
Who is the one of our spiritual masters at the moment in Krishna consciousness?
The first and foremost is our founder Acharya, is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Bona fide means he's coming in a direct line and he is keeping everything as it is. That's why the Bhagavad Gita is Bhagavad Gita as it is. So he's taking exactly from the previous Acharyas or the previous spiritual masters without adulterating any information. So he's given Bhagavad Gita, he's not omitting any text from the original manuscript. He's giving an explanation so that we try and understand those verses.
Yeah.
So a bona fide spiritual master is one who is coming in a direct line of spiritual masters linked to Lord Chaitanya. And this is what he establishes as well by writing the Bhagavad Gita. He also gives a list of the previous acharyas or teachers who have been teaching this bhakti cult. And anyone can trace it back if they have any doubts.
And this
throughout the world, we have his direct disciples. For example, we have His Holiness Jayapataka Swami, Devamrita Swami, Radhanath Maharaj. There's about 80 plus within the ISKCON, within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So they're all bona fide, they're all authentic spiritual masters because they're not deviating not a single bit from the original instructions given by Lord Chaitanya himself. So according to time, place and circumstance, the Shastra also explains that you give Krishna, you mold Krishna in a specific way, but without changing anything. And this is what an Acharya does, an ideal teacher. He teaches in such a way that the masses will be able to understand Krishna. Okay, it's after 8:30. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.